Welcome to Great Australian Lives for Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives. Here's your host, Laura Turner.
Hello and welcome to another special edition of Great Australian Lives for Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives. I'm Laura Turner. Our guests tonight are two of Australia's most revered singing sisters. For decades, they've been at the heart of the Australian music scene and have poured their souls into their music. Their soaring vocal harmonies are their unmistakable distinctive signature. When the global pandemic hit and the music industry was devastated, they decided they needed to keep singing. And the result is an inspiring album of gospel songs called Sunday, The Gospel According to ISO. It is my pleasure to welcome Vicar and Linda Bull to Great Australian Lives. How are you both?
Good, Laura.
Good, Laura.
I'll start with you, Vicar. I can imagine that you wouldn't have any idea how 2020 was going to unfold, and you would have had a very busy diary at the start of the year.
We had a very busy one, Laura. It was full. We were going to be touring the whole year, and in March, everything was cancelled. Well, everything was cancelled up to a certain point. And then as the month went on and as, you know, lockdown went on and the second lockdown, more and more gigs were cancelled, and the whole year now is a write-off. Yeah. So everything has gone. You know, everybody, crew, venues, everyone, just nothing. And it was a little bit depressing, I've got to say.
Yeah, and I can imagine, you know, there's so many people behind the scenes. Of course, you two are at the forefront, but there's so many people behind the scenes who are suffering as well. Like, you can be at home and recording and doing stuff, you know, on the internet and broadcasting that way, but there's still a lot of people who normally would have helped you that still don't get to play a role.
Absolutely, Laura. Yeah, and we look after them. We try to reach out to as many of the people, of our friends like that, in that situation as we can. Particularly with people like in the Paul Kelly band, we're really close family, so we're all talking on WhatsApp. That's an example, you know. Even though we're not working, we're all sending jokes to each other and trying to keep our spirits up that way. And for Vicar and I, we are very lucky because we can kind of step forward and do whatever we want to do in whatever way we want. But at the same time, we understand people that don't want to do that. So yeah, it's been a really interesting time.
Yeah, and everyone's had to evolve and adapt. We spoke to Michael Gudinski not too long ago for this show, and I'm sure you know him well. But he said for the first couple of weeks of lockdown, he was in shock and sort of was really stunned at how quickly the industry was wiped out. And he openly said, you know, it really depressed him. Were you in the same boat, Linda?
Yes, I was kind of sitting there for the first couple of days going, is this really happening? If someone had have said to Vicar and I that we would lose all our work for the whole year in February for the rest of the year, I would have actually just thought it was a joke or laughed in their face. But when it became obvious that that was actually happening, I was a bit flat, and normally I'm not like that. Yeah.
Especially the second lockdown in Melbourne, it's been really hard. Michael Gudinski has been amazing.
Yeah.
He has been incredible. He's had the sound, music from the home front. He's done all these shows. He's trying to, you know, give us all work and, you know, stream things. And he's just been incredible. The man should get a knighthood, I reckon, because for our industry, it's just he really has been fantastic.
Behind the scenes, he and Sue and all the team at Mushroom Creative and Mushroom Music and Bloodlines, they're incredible the way they have helped us all. And, you know, he doesn't sort of see the difference between someone that signed a disc record label that. He's just like, we're all the same. We're all family. Yep. And he's looked after us.
And what have you ladies done to cope through this time?
Every day is different. We started out with our sing songs. That was straight off the bat 2 days after the COVID breakout was announced. Vicar and I stepped onto the porch at Vicar's house and decided to do one gospel song every Sunday as a way of kind of paying back all the people that had tickets cancelled for shows and had supported us. And that started this kind of weekly routine of getting together and singing and planning songs for the following Sunday that's really kept us quite sane. And in the middle of that, we did a ISO City Limits parody song in my lounge room that was hugely successful. We had no idea, but just trying to do stuff like that and be together was our main focus, and reach out to others.
And how did the fans respond, Vicar, in those early days when you started with those gospel songs? How did the fans respond to that?
Oh, that was eye-opening, because Linda and I never used Facebook or Instagram much before. We never put much up there, had we? And we did the first song, and the feedback, the comments started flowing in, and the views, and it was like, hang on a minute, that's 250,000 people just watched Up Above My Head on our front porch. And like, absolutely, like, oh, maybe we should think a bit about what we wear next time, and what sort of background we have.
Take your dressing gown off.
The porch before, you know.
Maybe you should adjust your porch.
It was just great. It really lifted our spirits, didn't it? It gave us something to look forward to. We thought we'd do it to give something back to our fans that maybe missed out on concerts and things like that. But in actual fact, it came back to us. Actually really, really, they saved our lives. Really nice to us, and they kept us going.
We can't put it in words, actually, how much that meant to us.
That's wonderful to know, and I'm sure many of your fans will be listening, so they will. That'll be really important for them to hear. What would you both have normally been doing on a Sunday morning when you're not standing on the porch singing? Before COVID.
You go first, Mick.
Normally on a Sunday, we'd probably be flying home from a gig. You know, we'd be somewhere. We would have performed on a Saturday night. We'd be on an aeroplane, either flying home, or we'd be getting ready to do a show, you know, Sunday night. Yep. Normally that's what we'd be doing, or going to the pool.
Are you passionate swimmers?
Yes.
There you go.
We're kind of locals at our local pool. I mean, swimming's good for the lungs, so and general on the body, so that's our sport.
It's unfortunate that we can't do any of that at the moment, isn't it?
I can't wait till the pool opens again. I'm counting down the days.
Hopefully it won't be too long. Was it hard for you, because as you said, you weren't really big users of things like Facebook and, you know, social media, so to turn to that now and start making music in isolation, was it hard for you to turn the cameras on at home and pivot like that?
Yeah, well, we filmed most of the Sunday Sing songs in my lounge room, Laura, so I was not aware that, really, I really wasn't, that everyone would be looking behind. What was happening behind us?
And what was happening behind you?
People notice a lot about your lounge room, your decor, you know, what you're wearing, whether you've, you know, where did you get that from? They ask a lot of questions, and I thought that was kind of confronting. I was like, oh, okay, I've opened up, because I've always been quite private and I didn't think about it. But in the end, I like that. You know, I like the feedback. And it kind of made me clean my lounge room, I tell you what.
Well, the silver linings of COVID, you did the vacuuming.
That's true.
That's hilarious. Do you think we will get a creative, I mean, you have had a creative silver lining from this, from being in isolation. Do you think this album would have ever happened otherwise?
Not as quickly.
We had it in the back of our mind as maybe a record that we would make in about 2 years. So, yeah. Because, not as quickly. It kind of pushed forward. It just became naturally, it jumped the queue pretty much.
Yeah.
Because we'd chosen gospel. We'd always thought we'd make a gospel album, but later on. And it just sort of jumped the queue.
Yeah, because it was, we thought, well, let's make one in isolation. What a perfect, it's like, it'll, it you know, it. We had our piano player did everything in New South Wales, and we sang everything here in Melbourne. And we thought, well, we're in this situation, let's make this like a gospel album in ISO. It's like something to talk about. It's like, yes, we can do it. It this is what's happening. So we picked songs for the album, really about what we're going through. So a lot of the songs are about what's happening with everybody at the moment.
For many musicians, troubled times and even depression and that sort of thing can actually, ironically, bring out an artist's best work. I guess there is that side of this.
That's been really interesting. That's an interesting question, because, Jane, we haven't made, before this, we hadn't made a record or released anything for 14, 15 years. So this has been probably one of the most creative periods Vic and I have ever had, because we were forced to sit down and look at what we wanted to do, and we weren't running around singing maybe with other people or, you know, at an airport or travelling. So it's been very eye-opening in that regard. We put out our anthology, and then now it's the gospel record, and I think we're, you know, in a creative headspace that's been kind of wanting to come out but hasn't, and now it's all come out in a rush.
I think there's going to be a lot of great music that's going to come out from this.
Yeah.
Lots of people at home writing and doing all sorts of things, and I think after this is going to be like, whew.
Yeah.
Wow.
This is Great Australian Lives for Tobin Brothers Funeral, celebrating lives. Our guests tonight are Vika and Linda Bull. We're going to play the first single from the new album, Sunday, The Gospel According to ISO, in a moment. But tell us, ladies, about the first single, There Ain't No Grave Gonna Hold My Body Down. What's special to you about this song, and what's the Paul Kelly connection?
Well, Paul Kelly alerted us to the album that this came off. It was called, it's a gospel collection. It's a very, very rare one called Goodbye Babylon, and I trawled through it and found this song on there. It was written by a guy called Brother Claude Eli, and he wrote this song when he was 12 years old because he had tuberculosis, and he played it to his family and he recovered. And Vicar and I thought that was a really good message, because someone was sick and they recovered. So we thought that's a song of hope, and that's why we wanted it on the record.
Absolutely beautiful. Well, here it is, Vicar and Linda Bull with There Ain't No Grave Gonna Hold My Body Down.
There ain't no grave.
I'm Laura Turner, and our guests tonight are Vicar and Linda Bull, two of Australia's most revered singing sisters. Their new album, Sunday, The Gospel According to ISO, is out now. That's a great name, ladies. It's got a bit of humour to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, I thought, you know, there's the Gospel According to Mark, Gospel According to Matthew, Gospel According to Luke, and then I thought, well, why can't we call it The Gospel According to ISO?
It's a great idea.
Actually, our manager came up with the idea for calling it Sunday, but then the record company said, you've got to explain some sort of, you've got to have some sort of gospel explanation underneath. Yeah. So we came up with that, The Gospel According to ISO.
I just love it. Now, ladies, you're obviously sisters. Vicar, the older sister. Linda, the younger sister. Tell us about your family life. Your mum was a nurse, and your dad came from a farming family in Melbourne. You've still got those connections back to Tonga, though, don't you?
Yes, very strong connections back with Tonga. Our mother taught us how to sing. We listened to the Tongan choir a lot. Dad really loved the Tongan people. He encouraged that. He wanted us to know our mother's custom. Very supportive of the Tongan community, our father. Having them there as supporters and beside us all the way has been very important. And a lot of the imagery we've used on the album is from Tonga, of the churches, and there's lots of, because they're very religious people. So, you know, they go to church three times a week. And on our last visit there, a manager took a lot of photos and we put them on the record, and we went to church and we listened to them sing again, and that was very uplifting. You know, every time we hear a Tongan choir, it's very moving. And the Tongans have been a big, big, big part of our life. And Dad's really made sure of that. Our dad is Australian. He's a little blonde bloke called Aussie Bull. And he just loves them. He just loves listening to them sing. So, you know, when Mum came to Australia in 1959 and met Dad, and they had us, they sort of said, look, we'll speak English in the home, but Dad still wanted the Tongans around too, so we could see another side of life and learn another culture.
And how important to have that respect and deep understanding and knowledge of what is in your blood. Is there a romantic story behind the meeting of your parents?
They're on a blind date. They met on a blind date, but
really?
They weren't each
other's
date. Really?
I love those stories.
They swapped.
What?
It's a kind of mismatch. I think they weren't meant to meet, but when they did, they married 3 months later.
Wow.
So it was kind of whirlwind. They're very different. Mum is just this unstoppable force, and Dad's a quieter guy. He's a greenie, I guess, for want of a better word. They're just a really great couple.
Yeah, they're a great team. They work really well together. great gardeners. I just find them amazing. They're 85, 86, and, you know, they still look after themselves. They cook, they garden, they argue a lot. Yeah, that's it. They bicker. That's what I like. You know, yeah. I think that's probably what keeps them.
That's healthy. Know,
alert.
Where did you first begin singing? I know that Tongan gospel was a part of your childhood. Is that, were they the songs you first started singing, or was there something else?
That's where we were first listening. That's where we kind of heard the strength of a group of people singing, like that kind of choir singing. That's where we first heard choir singing. But Vicar and I watched television. We watched Countdown. We listened to the radio, 3XYA on FM, things like that. We went through Mum and Dad's record collection also, which was quite eclectic. So things like that were kind of coming in like normal Aussie kids, getting all the stuff like that. But then at the same time we had church on Sunday. So we were getting kind of this good balance between lots of different types of music. And Mahalia Jackson, I guess, was the first American gospel singer that we heard. When we heard that sort of Southern gospel style, I think that sort of sparked a kind of interest in that sort of style of singing. Apart from that, it was R&B and Vicar Loves Ruth Brown and Etta James and I Love Linda Ronstadt and Willie Nelson. So quite different, but they came together. They come together when we sing.
Vicar, I'm with you. I love Etta James. Oh, how young were you both when this started?
We sang our first song in church when we were 4 or 5 years old.
Yeah. And Vicar, is it correct that you always knew or you had a good feeling you wanted to be a singer, but Linda, you sort of had other ideas?
Yes, there was no other career choice for me, Laura. I knew from a very young age that I would be a singer. And Mum and Dad kind of knew too. Dad's told me, he said, I used to sing around the house all the time and they'd often have little chats. They go, I have a feeling she's going to be a singer. I pretty much went as far as I could in school because I really didn't like it. Couldn't wait to get the hell out of there. Mum made me do year 11 and made me, you know, qualify as a legal secretary and then let me go off and become a singer. So, and then Linda can tell her side of the story.
You weren't on board straight away?
No, I just liked singing with Vic at home. I didn't think it would be a career. I'd never sort of seen it as being a career. I was more interested in the creative arts as being an artist. So went to art school, and when I realised I wasn't as good as everybody else, that's when I thought, oh, maybe I'll jump ship and go and sing with Vicar. Because we could sing anyway. It wasn't difficult. I know it sounds kind of big-headed, but I knew we had been singing our whole lives together anyway, so when an opportunity came to sing with Vicar in a band, it wasn't difficult. We had a natural game anyway and we just worked on that.
Yeah. I can imagine, though, you know, it can come really naturally, but in terms of getting work and getting exposure, that's something that's not often an easy or natural experience. How did that happen? I think, Vicar, as the story goes, you were working at a recording studio and someone lost their voice. Is that a myth or is that right?
That's exactly right. Yeah, I was doing the night shift at the recording studio. One of the session singers lost her voice, and then someone said, "Well, Vicar can sing." And I'd never sung in a recording studio before. I'd never sung in front of a microphone and with headphones in a studio situation. And Rebecca Bernard was one of the singers, and she coached me through and helped me. And then it kind of just went from there, just started singing.
Can you remember that first time? Sometimes I think back to the first work I did in my industry and I sort of cringe. Do you do the same? do you think back now and go, oh, I can't believe I sung like that, or that's how I thought you do it, or you're always pretty confident?
No. There's lots of cringe-worthy moments. It's like, no, I won't drink so much next time and can you sing out of key and do all sorts of horrible things. It's like, ugh.
Did you have mentors who helped you out back in the 80s, both of you?
Yes, we did.
I mean, the list is long, isn't it? I mean, basically Pete Luscombe from the Rockies Orchestra and Paul Kelly's band, and he was in the Black Sorrows. He basically discovered us by telling Joel about us because he'd seen us sing at a pub. Then there was Joe Camilleri, Jeff Burstyn.
Benetta Fields.
Oh, my goodness. She taught us how to sing in sessions in the studio with the Black Sorrows.
Renee Geyer.
Oh,
wow.
She's a big one. Yeah. You know, especially Vanetta and Renee in the studio working how to work in the studio, how to sing parts, how to do harmonies, how to work quickly, how to listen. different techniques if you want your voice to sound a little raspy, how to get that happening. Little tricks they taught us that was really, really valuable.
From an extreme layperson in this area, whether there is a difference between singing and recording in the studio and being live on stage in terms of the technique, and I'm sure you're going to say, yes, there's a big difference.
Yes, there's a big difference.
The more you push in the studio, the worse it sounds.
Really?
So I guess the subtle difference between like working in film, working in theatre, there's different ways you attack that job. And in the studio, Vicar and I have to eyeball each other. We really have to be close. We have to see each other, and we use a lot of hand movements. And people like Vanetta taught us how to cut things off at the same time and match vibratos. And there's a lot of eye contact. But on stage, you can't do that. You have to sort of project to the audience because you're singing to an audience, and you can kind of let it rip a bit more, and more mistakes can be made, but studio is a little bit more under the microscope.
I can imagine absolutely everything would be picked up.
This is
Great Australian Lives for Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives. And in these challenging times, Tobin Brothers offer a range of very practical solutions to help you plan a funeral and pay tribute to your loved one. For more information, visit tobinbrothers.com.au. I'm Laura Turner, and our guests tonight are Vicar and Linda Bull. We're going to play another song from their new album, but let's talk about the song first, In the Land Where We'll Never Grow Old, featuring Paul Kelly. As you've said already, he's a good friend of yours. What's the meaning behind that song?
In the Land Where We Never Grow Old, I think it's kind of like, for us, we chose that song because it's timelessness. It's about having the attitude and the good fortune to kind of live a good life. That's the way I saw the song. And we thought of Paul Kelly because he sings really well with us, and we wanted to do a three-way duet on our sing song. Mm-hmm. So we chose him. He's so powerful, and he gets those great tricky harmonies really well.
We wanted to include him on the record because he's been such a big part of our life, and I think that the three of us harmonise really well together. Linda and I are great. We love singing harmony. It's been our thing all our life. You know, it's not being about the lead singer. It's being it's a harmony singer. And when we get to sing in a group, especially with someone like Paul, whose voice does cut through, I just love that sound. And Linda and I wanted him to be on the record because he's a great singer, first of all. I just love his voice. And Linda picked that song. She said, this will be great for Paul and us to sing together. So we did it on the Sunday Sing Song one Sunday. And then he agreed to come and sing it on the record, thank goodness. So thank you, Paul, very much.
Let's have a listen to it now, In the Land Where We'll Never Grow Old.
I have heard of a land on the faraway strand. There's a beautiful home of the soul, held by Jesus on high, where we never shall die. There's a land where we never grow old.
Welcome back to Great Australian Lives for Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives. I'm Laura Turner, and our guests tonight are Vicar and Linda Bull, two of Australia's most revered singing sisters. Do you look fondly, Vicar, back on those days after you left the Black Sorrows and decided to go it alone? It's obviously a risk. It is for any musicians who are doing that, but an exciting time.
It was a little bit scary. It was exciting. But we had to do it. We wanted to. We'd sung as the backing singers in the Black Sorrows for 7 years, and we thought we should give it a crack and see if we can branch out on our own and sing together and be a duo. When we first started playing in the Black Sorrows, Joe had had many different lineups, and when we joined, he was just recording Hold On To Me, and we were playing in pubs in South Melbourne to basically no one. There would be about 50 people in the audience. And then when Chained to the Wheel came out, it just changed overnight. Then we went on tour for 7 years and played to massive audiences. So when we left that band, it was like, okay, well, we'll have a go. We realised that we're not going to take that audience with us because we're going to do different music. So it was like starting all over again. And it was scary. It took us a while to find our feet, would you say, Lulu?
Yeah. I mean, because we had a front man in the Sorrows, we had to learn how to do that. And we'd watch Joe perform, and he's an incredible front man. So we realised not only do we have to write songs and have a whole record ready, but we had to entertain the crowd and talk to them. So we spent a couple of years. We learned quickly, but we did spend a bit of time looking at our feet for the first couple of gigs. But we got it together. We worked really hard at trying to kind of give a show. And it's pretty scary because we didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah, years of performing. We made about 7 records and, you know, there was a lot of trial and good things. A lot of things were like, oh, that didn't work. Trial and error, is that the word?
Yeah.
You know, and then getting up on stage. I mean, we had some terrible gigs and but we had to go through that. No, really, we did. You know, it was like we got booed sometimes, got spat on. It was like, it was a great learning curve. I'm glad we went through that because now I'm just so happy that we're still able to perform because we can deal with all those things now and we know what to do. And
yeah.
So I'm very grateful that the industry and people have let us have such a long career.
Mm. Yeah.
And you've had so many really great collaborations over your incredible and long career. Linda, is there someone who stands out as the most significant? And I know you don't want to play favourites, but is there someone you just love performing with?
I'd have to say it's Paul Kelly because he's
been... I knew you'd say that.
Talk about him a lot because he's been there, and Joe Camilleri too, and all the, both those bands, the Black Sorrows and Paul Kelly's band, all those people and those leaders have been great because behind the scenes they kind of help you with contracts. In front of the scenes they help you with songs and in craftsmanship. So it's not just it's both the way they do business and the way they are musical that they've been so influential on the way Vicar and I have viewed our career, and they both had long careers, so they've been great people to look to.
Yeah, you can't argue with experience, can you? Vicar, when you decided to turn your ISO performances into an album, there's obviously we're all having to be separate at the moment, and normally there's nothing separate about recording in a studio. How did you tackle the technical side of making an album in isolation? I can imagine there'd be all sorts of difficulties.
There was a lot of difficulty, yes. You know, we had to learn how to Zoom. Zoom was new, and we had to Zoom because our piano player was in New South Wales, and we spent a lot of time discussing keys and songs and arrangements. And this period sort of taught us how to deal with technology, and Cameron would do everything. Luckily, Cameron's great with all that sort of stuff and sending files down, and then we'd listen to them and sing them. But it was fun. It was challenging, you know. Mm. It was a great challenge. It was like, okay, we can do this. And even though it's better to be in a studio with your whole band making a record that way, This was exciting. It was, okay, let's do it. It would just do some gospel songs that we love. He's a really great piano player, perfect musician for this. And he played all the parts beautifully, and we went into the studio with all the things he'd recorded for us and sang them, and I'm quite pleased with the end result.
Well, that's great to hear. Did you, Linda, how did you, everyone is experiencing this at the moment who's working from home, and myself included right now, can hear my children screaming in the lounge room. How did you manage those things? You're doing it at home and you've got to keep everything separate. I mean, especially for you guys where audio is just paramount. How do you shut everybody else up?
I banished them to their rooms, and I've got one child homeschooling, the other one at university. They're both at home because, you know, no one can afford to rent massive places. So we're all in here together. But Vicar and I surprisingly didn't own a microphone, and we didn't own an interface. We didn't have anything set up. So we had to learn very quickly how to record. So, but as far as our houses go, we are doing things in separate rooms. Vicar's had a fair bit of trouble with her internet. We filmed things sideways. We filmed things, you know, things have dropped out. I think everyone's the same, you know, we've been doing things on television where one person comes on and one person doesn't.
That's true. This has been so much fun, this period, you know, with Zooming and watching interviews and seeing, you know, seeing people naked in the background or seeing, you know, kids popping up and stuff like that. It's just been the best, don't you think?
Would you like to see my UGG boots?
Gorgeous. seeing people in their natural environment, it's so great. But when we were Zooming and stuff like that, I'm lucky because my daughter's left home, so it's only me and my husband at home, so it's quite quiet. You know, and I just kick him out to the shed when I've got to do stuff.
Yeah, well, that's where every good husband should be. Tell us about the song Shallow Grave. It's a new song written by Casey Chambers and Harry Hookey. Why did you decide to include an original track as well?
We wanted to. We thought Casey sent that song to us a couple of years ago. She sent 5 songs to us, and that was one of them. and we loved it instantly. It's a very unusual song. When we heard it, we thought this would be great for a gospel record. When this all happened, the gospel according to ISO, we thought, Shallow Grave, let's put that on. Let's dig that out. And I'm so glad we did, because I just think, you know, a lot of the songs we're doing are very, very old traditional gospel songs. We thought we should include a brand new one that's just a freshly written one from today, which Casey does beautifully. She's one of our favourite songwriters, singer-songwriters.
Well, let's have a listen to it now. Here's Shallow Grave by Vicar and Linda Bull from their brand new album, Sunday, The Gospel According to ISO, which is available now. And this is Great Australian Lives for Tobin Brothers Funerals, Celebrating Lives.
And if I die before the evening's over, gonna take my body for to keep my soul.
Welcome back to Great Australian Lives for Tobin Brothers Funerals, Celebrating Lives. Our guests tonight are two of Australia's most revered singing sisters, Vicar and Linda Bull. They might have been stuck in lockdown, but they've made good use of their time and have just released a new album, which is just a beautiful body of work. Sunday, The Gospel According to ISO. What does the rest of 2020 hold? Or is that a ridiculous question that no one can answer right now?
Oh, I shouldn't laugh. It is a ridiculous question. We can't answer it. Sorry, Laura. You know, we've got nothing. No gigs.
You've got a diary with red marks all the way through it on every page, sadly.
That's exactly right. We've just got to keep our chin up and, you know, look forward to 2021. It's been quite hard, I've got to say, and I really feel for everyone out there that's doing it tough. I'm not going to wallow in my own thing. It's like I'm lucky. I've got my family and, you know, my heart goes out to people that are struggling. And I just hope we can all, you know, survive this and get back to normal very soon.
I totally agree. Linda, what do you look forward to the most when our borders do open? We can travel again. We can have a beer at the pub again. We can even, go out for a meal.
I'm going to open my front door and kiss the first person that walks past. Just being together and being able to resume life as normal would be a great result, you know, for everybody to just go back to what we were doing before. I don't know whether we will be, but it would be great if that happened, and so that the kids can see, you know, all their hard work and all their sort of bunkering down had a purpose and that we're all okay. They can see their grandparents and their friends.
Ladies, thank you for being on the show. It has been such a pleasure to talk to you. It's been fun and it's been an honour. You're royalty in the Australian music scene, so thank you.
Laura, thank you so much for talking to us.
Beautiful. Thank you. Pleasure. Now, Sunday, The Gospel According to ISO is available now. And to connect with Vicar and Linda, find them on Instagram and Facebook. And if you've enjoyed our chat with Vicar and Linda Bull tonight and you'd like to share it with a friend, subscribe to the Great Australian Lives podcast. This is Great Australian Lives for Tobin Brothers Funerals, Celebrating Lives. And, of course, join me the same time next week when we celebrate another Great Australian Life.
You're listening to Great Australian Lives with Laura Turner for Tobin Brothers Funerals, Celebrating Lives.